this time we would have a moment of silence and a pledge, and Dr. Martin is leading them to that.
Please stand.
Screen there, so he's able to join in as well here. Student of the Month presentation, Mr. Sanger.
Didn't get shot tonight, that's a good thing.
Usually you want to take the shot.
Yeah, I'm usually the one who takes the hit. That's all right. President Yoder, thank you for your time this evening. I have two awesome young people that I'd like to introduce to you this evening, Ethan Horney and Sarah Martin. I'll have them come up here momentarily. But these are the type of kids that you want your children to grow up to be like, in my opinion, just knowing them for the last 4 years. So it's certainly my pleasure to introduce them tonight. My administrative assistant went out of her way to create a nice little blurb for each of them, so I think I'm just going to read that if that's all right. If I can introduce Sarah first. Sarah, if you want to stand up and head over to Dr. Hollister. Sarah is the daughter of Stephen and Sharon Martin of New Holland, Pennsylvania. During her time at Garden Spot High School, Sarah has taken honors courses and is a four-year member of the school course. She was previously a member of the student council and volunteers at Wingerland Day Camp and Vacation Bible School. Sarah has participated in mission trips all 4 years of her high school career and currently teaches first grade Sunday school. In the spring semester, she plans to enter an internship at Lighthouse Vocational Services and hopes to go on to participate in mission trips with youth with a mission, YWAA. Sarah Martin. Winner, and if you had a chance to hear that, it was amazing. For coming here, it brings a new fear in my heart. So, congratulations to Sarah on that as well. Ethan, if you don't mind standing up. Ethan is the son of Andrew and Karen Horney of New Holland, Pennsylvania. During his time at Garden Spot High School, Ethan has taken honors, advanced placement, and dual enrollment courses. He is also in his second year as a member of National Honor Society and currently serves as vice president. Ethan is also a 4-year member of varsity tennis team, where he served as captain in his junior year. Volunteers with Petra Church's Kids Worship Team, Petra Food Bank, and Tell High Summer Camp. And he currently works in retail sales at Soul Food Salads and as a janitor at Hitchum's Auto. Ladies and gentlemen, Ethan Horn.
Students of the month. First of all, from the superintendent's office, congratulations and thank you. It may sound like a strange thing to say, but in so many ways, you are serving our community by serving as a role model for others. So thank you. I do appreciate all the hard work, and typical of students of the month, the busy people are the ones who get things done, and these two folks are certainly busy. I also want to extend my thanks to the family. And we're fortunate enough to have a large group of the teachers here, so I guess you guys can share in some of that too. Thank you, all of you, because a part of the partnership that we have here is what helps our students get to these high levels of achievement. The one thing I do want to say to the students is, and I say it every month, I know these folks probably get tired of hearing it, but in many ways, an award like this is a two-sided coin. And the one side of the coin is we're saying, great job, thank you for the job you've done. But the other side of the coin is you have an obligation to continue doing what you've been doing. Because your administrators and your teachers have tapped you on the shoulder and said, you got something special going on, and we need you to continue to do that. This is certainly not the end. It's the beginning of more work. So again, from the superintendent's office and on behalf of the board, thank you so much, students, and good job.
Another round of applause. Theme of presentations here. Dr. Hollister.
Thank you, Mr. Yoder. As we mentioned just previously, we do have a number of teachers here this evening who are to be recognized publicly for outstanding effort. We all know how so many public schools in Pennsylvania are governed by test scores and by PSSA scores and Keystone scores, and we do very well. I remind the board that the school district here, both the middle school and the high school, have the highest SPP score, school performance profiles, in the county. And in fact, essentially the IU, I think the high school is second in the IU, so that's linked to revenue. That does not come without a lot of effort, and the teachers who are here this evening are the champions of that effort, are the ones who have put the most effort forward. When we get reports on the teacher's performance, which is essentially the student's performance, it's evaluated in gradations. There's a gradation for teachers who are moving students on course, meaning 1 year's growth for 1 year in school. The teachers that you're going to meet this evening are teachers who have consistently, or at least for the first time this year, have had two standard deviations away from standard growth, meaning not just some improved performance past what they should be, but an extraordinary amount of performance obtained by their students beyond what is normal growth. So these are the folks who we call dark blue. So there's green, which is on level, there's light blue, which is better than on level, and then there's the group you're about to meet. And among this group, there are some who have done this multiple years in a row, which is incredible. And so we're going to celebrate all of you. And before we call you up, I just want to say personally and publicly, I greatly appreciate the efforts that you put forth. I know how hard it is to teach in today's world. I would have trouble teaching today the way many of you do. I'll be very honest about that. I think teaching has become exponentially more difficult, in part because of the scrutiny and the accountability measures that are placed upon you, but also because sadly, students are coming with more social and emotional needs than ever before. Not only are you doing all this academic stuff, but you're also minding the bullying. You're checking in on the personal situations of students. You're helping them out. In some cases, you're helping them out financially because they don't have enough to eat or they don't have the right equipment for school. And we know that. And this is the group here, board, who really does that extremely well. I have gotten to know many of these people over the years. I've been here long enough that some of them are even friends of mine, or more than professional colleagues, and I want to also thank all of you for that as well. So I'm going to be calling your names. Please come up when you hear your name, and I do have some certificates here for you as well. So we'll begin with Ms. Correct. So we have two folks who are here. This is their first year in this category, in the outstanding effort. And if I could have William Swinsburg come on up, Bill. And we'll just hold our applause till we do each group. And Stephanie here. A round of applause for those. members of the teaching staff who have accomplished this feat for 2 years in a row. Catherine Twiner. Catherine. And Lillian Collette, I saw Lillian. Paige is also on our foundation board. Adam will be approved. I forgot to mention Adam will be approved for our foundation board probably next month. Jason. Zach Story. Zach always dresses like that.
Yeah. Leave it, didn't try.
I didn't see Rachel Stern. Guys are awesome. You really are. You are a big reason why Eastern Lancaster County is no longer the quiet school district in the corner of the county. Because of you, because of the work you do with our students, we're a model school district for a lot of those things. That's why we're getting the opportunities that we're getting. So thank you so much. Be so proud. We have a round of applause for everyone, please. you. You're welcome to leave. You're welcome to stay, but you may leave. The audit's coming up. That's very exciting. Look at her run. Thank you so much.
So I'm going to give a brief synopsis of the, I think there's 60-some pages here in the audit report, so I have six slides to go over the 60 pages. Feel free to ask me questions as I go through. But that being said, Keith has told you everything you need to know for 2016, 2017. There's going to be no surprises here. So basically, this is putting a, an end to 2016, 2017 as you're starting the 2018, 2019 budget, and you're halfway through 2017, 2018. So this year, I tried to do something different, and I put cartoons in there. Since I'm an accountant, and I don't have much. This is my thing, my teacher, I really don't do this, so I tried to spice it up a little bit. So this is what basically I'm going to do. So the most important thing in your audit report is pages 1 and 2 and the goal of your audit report. Basically, this is your independent auditor's report. This is a summary of your independent auditor's report. Basically, what this is saying is that the numbers presented to us by management for the year ended June 30th, 2017 were fairly presented. The second most important thing in the audit report, if I had to say, is back on page number 46. Page 46 is what we call your budgetary comparison. I'm already skipping that. Page 46, your general fund budget to act report for June 30, 2017. I consider this the report card for the board. Basically, the board puts out a budget at the beginning of the year. Your results coming for the year, and then you have a variance based upon your budget that you put together at the beginning of the year. The reason why this budget, even though the schedule is extremely important, it's in the back of the audit report, mostly because of the fact that we don't audit your budgeted amounts, we only budget your actual amounts, so they put it in the back of the audit report because we're not providing an opinion on budget. So the schedule you see on page 46 has been summarized here in your on the slide. As you can see, your revenues are $51.6 million over budget. They came in at $57.2 million for a positive variance of $5.5 million. And when you dig into that variance, the positive variance for revenues is primarily due to more than anticipated real estate taxes, earned income tax, And this is a really good sign when you have this, because that means that's an uptick in the economy. Those are the kind of revenues that you need to be conservative with, because if you're not conservative, you could really get, you know, caught with your pants down if you're, you know, too aggressive in budgeting those revenues.
So I'm just looking at the actual numbers. It looks like 3.795, 3,795,000 was state sources. Are you throwing transfer tax into that?
No, that's in the local.
That's
so,
in the local.
So the second piece is, so if you think about your state source revenue, this revenue, you pretty much know what your state source revenue is going to be every year. And if you look at your previous audit reports, that number was a lot closer to budget. You might look at this number this year and be like, hey, he has no idea what he's doing. But in reality, there's a reason for this. If you look at the second part here, and the unbudgeted receipt of the deferred payments for the plan comes. So if you remember, all that plan come money was stuck at the state, and you weren't sure when it was going to come in. So you didn't really want to budget for that money in 2016-17, and then the money came in. So he actually did budgeting, but almost all that variance there, that positive variance, is related to that money. So in actuality, when the state borrowed that money, they paid it out, but you know, you couldn't budget that because the state didn't, you know, have that, you didn't know that they were going to borrow that money to pay for it. So hence, that accounts for the big variance there. So when you take, you know, they look at that $5.5 million, almost $4 million of that is really into that backup of that plan income money right there. So, and the other rest of it, $1.5 million is related to the taxes. The next line item are your expenditures and your other financing sources, uses. There's a lot of budget transfers that go on during the year, budget to use $563,000 of your fund balance. At the end of the year, the board made the decision to take some of that money, the excess revenues that were over the budget amount, and transfer that money over to the capital projects fund. The number one, pay for the refunding or the refinancing of the general obligation of $2.5 million, and to also fund future capital projects. And that only makes sense to do that because of the fact that that plan money that came in is one time to reimburse debt service costs. So it only makes sense to use one time deferred receipts on one time expenditures such as debt service and capital projects. So after you transfer that money over to the debt service fund and the capital projects fund, the board wanted to keep their fund balance at a steady amount of $9.4 million at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. Any questions?
That's great.
Thanks, sir. So I just showed you the activity for 2016-2017. Now this is as of a point in time, June 30th, 2017. And this is a summary of your general fund balance as of June 30th, 2017. So all this is an excess of your current assets or your current liabilities. And as of June 30th, 2017, you had committed amounts and unassigned amounts. Now your unassigned amounts need to remain within 8% of your next year's expenditure budget. So as you can see, your unassigned amount was $3.5 million or 6.57 of your $54 million 2017-2018 general fund expenditure budget, and this is within the 8% that's allowed by PDE. Also, you have committed amounts as of June 30th, 2017, $4 million that's committed to offset the increases in teasers, and also $1.7 million that's being committed for one-time technology initiatives. Another thing I'm going to go over with, so you have two major funds. You have your general fund, and then you have your capital projects fund. A lot of times I don't go over the capital projects fund, but yeah, it's a real big activity that was going on in your capital projects fund for June 30, 2017. So at the beginning of last year, you had $6.2 million in your capital projects fund. You had some revenues or some interest earnings of $25.8 million. You had some capital outlay of almost $200,000, which consisted primarily of some renovations to the Blue Ball parking lot. And then once again, there's that debt service I was talking about that was transferred over from the general fund to refinance or to pay off the general obligation of 2014A to save yourself some interest going in the future. And then there's that $7.3 million from the general fund that came in, as you saw in the previous two slides, when you saw the transfer out, $7.3 million. So when you start with the 6.2, take all the activity, now you have $10.6 million that's sitting in the capital projects fund that you don't have to necessarily go out and borrow money for any kind of projects that aren't on a big scale but need to be done. So I think that's great that you have that money sitting there instead of having, you know, if you have a small project, some people get stuck with having to borrow a couple $1 million for, you know, projects that necessarily might not need to be done if you're planning for it.
And just want to jump in there real quick. That 10.6 is the end of the year. That was prior to us buying those two properties. So we have about just under 7.5 million sitting in there now. We actually had a meeting with the architects. As you know, we're they're going to studies for us. One would be, you know, the capital improvements of the existing state of the buildings, and, you know, Blue Wall's 20 years old. I mean, what type of repairs and maintenance do we need, as well as options of use of that new land. For the capital improvement, they're hoping to have that to us by end of May or sooner. That way we can kind of see what's in the fund, where we should be, so that we can pay cash for a lot of those projects versus having to take out a bond issue. So more to come on that, but I wanted to share about the that amount was prior to the purchase of the properties.
Another big thing that happened in here is you went ahead and you did the current year debt refunding. So in addition to paying off the general obligation note 2014A, you issued general obligation bond series of 2017. And this refunded your general obligation notes of series of 2015. And the reason why you did this is because we're giving the opportunity to refinance and save, kind of like you were refinance your house, to reduce future debt service payments by almost $200 million. So no brainer there in terms of a big chunk of change that's being saved with the life insurance. The next thing I'm gonna talk about, I know we talked about this a couple of years ago. Now in addition to some of the other long-term liabilities that are required to be put on your books, there's a liability associated with your proportionate share of the Keithers liability that's out there. So in the case of the Eastern Lancaster County School District, your total net pension liability is almost at $74 million. It's not a liability you have to go and pay, but it kind of gives credence to the reason why your rates are going, they're astronomical in terms of where they were. As you can see, they're kind of leveling off here. They're not going up 8-10% where they were the past couple of years. But if you look here, your rate in 2016-2017 was 30%, and 2022-2023 is up to 36%. So the good news is the fact that the rate for 2018-2019 is actually projected to be at 34%. When the actual rate came in at 33.43. So hopefully the uptick in the economy will continue to improve and these rates won't come in at the projected amounts. You gotta remember too that this liability is based upon actuarial evaluation as of June 30th, 2016, because Peters cannot get you the information fast enough to get a 2017 number. So hopefully, given the good economic outcomes of 16-17, hopefully the 2018 number, which is on a one-year lag, will show better results, maybe a decrease in the liability. Count on it, but hopefully it won't go up as much as it has in the 16-17 part. Finally, the last slide. The three things that everyone wants to know about is, you know, what kind of audit opinion did we have, what are our fund balances, and did we have any findings, and were all our reports filed in a timely manner. So as you can see here, there was no reports or findings or anything related to our audit of the federal awards that would rise to a level that would need to be reported in this audit report. There's also three main filing deadlines that need to be met by management. The first is the annual financial report that needs to be filed with the Pennsylvania Department of Education. This is a big one, and that was filed by October 31st. The second one, the financial statements for bond purposes, need to be filed with PEMA within 180 days, which is December 27th, and that was filed in a timely manner. And the single audit needs to be filed with the Federal Audit Clearing House by 9 months of year end, March 31st, and that's already been done as well. So all those deadlines were met. There were findings that rose to the level that would need to be reported to the board or an audit.
I think everybody's still awake, so we're good.
make a comment too. I know that I've spoken to Carl and some of the other auditors who have come with his company. They're always very complimentary of Keith as well as the ladies who work with Keith. I don't want to ever take it for granted the services that Keith provides to the school district. It becomes sort of so routine that it's perfect that I don't want us to lose fact and don't want us to lose appreciation for that fact that not only is he doing it well here, he's also picking up on the Grove School District, which is far more difficult, but having the same kind of success there. I've heard Carl's people, Mr. Hogan's people, describe doing an audit here as a layup. I mean, it's desirable. It's an easy one to do because of the services and the organization that we have. So I want to thank Keith publicly, just remind all of us that we don't want to take that for granted.
I'm not being tough enough.
Yeah. Hey, down. All right, thank you.
Before we do citizens' comment, if I could interrupt, Mr. President, just one other body of, that needs to be mentioned tonight. This month is School Board Appreciation Month, and I do want to publicly thank this school board for its service. I think the community should consider itself blessed. I know that I do, to have such a stable, sensitive to the issues, but also sensible board as a unit of one. The respect that the board members have for one another, the respect that we have for the board, that the board has for the administration, et cetera, I think is so invaluable and is a key to why we've been able to be so successful for our students. I think this board it's thoughtful, it's intelligent. It asks probing questions, provoking questions sometimes, but always doing its job and always doing it in a non-personal way. It's a very professional and collegial board, and I think our community is fortunate to have that. Forward thinking, not fighting battles of the past. There's not members of the board who are sitting there because of one issue that got them there. It really is for this board a calling to community service, and it is a service. It is not easy to you know, I often equate board participation on the school board similar to the old soldier's adage of, you know, long periods of boredom interrupted by moments of intense pressure and scrutiny. And not caused by yourself at any time. Typically it's caused by me or one of the administrators who give you those uncomfortable moments. So you really are open to criticism that is not your making. So I do appreciate that, and I do want to personally thank the board for the support and trust that you have given us and for the service that you've given your community. In years past, you've typically gotten some tchotchkes of one kind or another. This year, you got a book that we want you to read. So it's sort of a thank you, sort of backhanded with we need you to do something for us too. So you're welcome. But I do want to thank you for your service. And I'd like to, since we do have a crowd here tonight, offer a round of applause for our school.
Thank you for that. It looks like there's a lot of pictures in here. So that should be okay. So that does bring us to citizens of the district comments. We have any residents of the school district that wish to address the board this evening? We have one. Any others? Two. Okay. Come to the microphone, state your name, where you reside, and you have the floor.
My name is Lee. Is this on? My name is Lee Schaefer, and I'm a resident of Five Pointville, about a mile and a half above Five Pointville, the metropolis. My wife and I have been here for about 35 years. I thought it was good, especially because you were honoring those teachers, if I share some good news about my three kids to the school board. And especially, I was sitting beside the person tonight who had the biggest impact on my three kids of anybody. Matthew graduated in 2006. If any of you were here, he was the actor in the family. He had most of the lead roles. And he was also, you saw his face on the TV screen for KGSH every morning. That was Matt. He is now at Fulton Bank. He graduated from Penn State with honors from Schmiel Business School. And he's now the Chief Compliance Officer for Fulton Bank, in charge of all banks in their system. My daughter, Ariana, had a great personality. And she was Miss Hannigan in 2008. She graduated, if you remember Annie, because now they're doing it again 10 years later. And the person that had the greatest impact, other than my wife Jenny and me, was sitting right beside me until she left, and that was Bev Lively. She was my next door neighbor. She came down and went to babysit our kids when we moved into the area at age 12. And we said, sure, we didn't quite trust her, she was young. She developed lesson plans to babysit for my child. So it wasn't a typical babysitting job. She was there more than I was at the house. And then finally, I told her after about 4 years, why don't I just pay for 2 years of your college, because it's going to be cheaper than paying you to be at my house for 12 hours a day. But to watch Bev work with my kids, become the teacher that she became. My daughter is now at York Suburban School District, having her dream job as a teacher because of Bev. So the impact that the teachers can have is amazing. Then my youngest son, David, was the athlete of the family. He graduated in 2010. He graduated from a small university along with my daughter, Karen University, down in Langhorne. He was the athlete. He was a three-time All-American soccer goalie. So he did very well there. The university loved his leadership skills, which he developed here. And they offered him a job. They created a job especially made for him. He's now the adult recruitment coordinator, travels the world to recruit people for their master's programs. He follows my daughter-in-law, you may know her, Claire DePew. She was a valedictorian of the class. They started dating when she was a senior, and they got married. And she's on her last year of business school. Med school, and she will start her residency next year. If you would like, I would like to pray for you. Please bow your heads if you'd like. Father, we thank you so much for this gathering this evening, and it is such an honor to see all those teachers who have dedicated themselves to helping people. First of all, we lift up the children of the school district, Lord. We ask that as they come to school that they can be prepared and that they treat their teachers with respect, which is so difficult in today's environment. And then also when they have questions, that they know that they can come to the board, to the teachers, and to the administration. Father, we ask for your hedge of protection around them. As we look at the newspapers, we realize there are such incredible pressures on these young people. When we see the scourge of drugs coming in, and now the depression that's affecting so many students, we ask that you be with them. We lift up the parents of these children, and we ask that they can develop a home that is loving, and develop a home that is great for education. And then if they need help, they know that they can contact people here to assist them so that they can assist their students. We lift up our teachers and our administration and our staff. Father, I pray that they all develop a servant's heart and a servant's mind. And we realize that it is such a great opportunity that we have to mold these young people. I pray that they can be fair and honest with their students, and above all, that they can be encouragers. Father, we lift up our New Holland area and the surrounding communities. Lord, help them to actively get involved in their school districts so that we can have a more serviceable and great population that is highly educated, which we need here. Father, we lift up the school board, and we thank you so much that they have the dedication to come out, and that they spend so much time in their lives and their effort. And Father, I know when times are difficult, as Dr. Oster talked about, that they remain calm, and that they can always put the children first of the school district. Lift all these things up in the name and the power of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One other comment. I was actually offered a job here 35 years ago as an ag ed teacher. Declined it to be a professional entertainer, making a whopping $50 a week. So what I'd be doing right now is giving my official resignation to say I'm retiring. This would be my 35th year. But I'm not doing that because I was never officially hired.
Thank you, Lee.
Good evening. My name is Mark Fisher. I'm the vicar at St. John Center Lutheran Church up on Reading Road. I'm a resident currently here on Hooyard Avenue in New Holland Borough. Thank the board for the opportunity to come here and have conversation. And this is something that has popped up where I'm originally from. I'm from that foreign country we call York, on the other side of the Susquehanna River. I like to say the river's not just a mile wide, it's a mile high, because there are some definite issues on the way we do business between York and Lancaster, and I'm quite happy to be here on the Lancaster side of the river. One of the hot-button topics that right now is being discussed in York, and I gave Tom Wenzel, who's a member of my congregation, a copy of yesterday's York Sunday News, is unpaid lunch accounts. One district has a deficit of $27,000, and that is probably one of the most financially well-off districts in terms of people, whereas compared, Red Lion School District has a unpaid lunch balance of less than $1,000. And they have close to 4,000 to 5,000 students in that district. Probably have a percentage at or near the poverty line comparable to what you have here, and I think that's quite admirable. So I just wanted to ask, if I may be allowed to ask a question, as to where the district stands in terms of that, and you know, what's being done to kind of address that, and then what can we as the community do to help alleviate that problem, you know, to that. So that's my thought for the evening, and thank you much for the consideration of being allowed to speak.
Yeah, you're referring to the changes in the lunch regulations, and they are significant. And because of the changes in the regulations, we have incurred far more debt than we had previously. I'll let Mr. Ramsey talk about those numbers. In the past here, we always made sure students had food that may not have been the food of their choice, but with the new rules, we have to give students the same lunch as everyone else is getting, which is pretty significant. Again, I repeat, no student ever walked through our cafeteria line and did not get food, ever. However, with the new rules, we are not allowed to tell students what they may have. We must give them the basic meal. Last year, Keith, you can answer the questions. Last year, we finished the school year with an in-debt number of $500, and currently we're about 8,000 in debt now. So we're partway through the year. If you assume that carries out, we could finish at 16,000 in our cafeteria services. Now, fortunately, our cafeteria services are self-funded, but that just means something less that we'll be able to purchase down the road. You know, our own equipment is completely self-funded, but that is a huge difference compared to where we were. And there are all kinds of procedures in place to contact parents and hold them responsible, but it's to the point now where the contacts that are required that we do are we're at the point of actually considering hiring additional staff so that those contacts can be made per schedule, per regulation, because it's pretty labor intensive in terms of what we have to do. So it's a reasonable thing to bring up. It's a frustration that we have. You know, and unfortunately, it's not that this community doesn't provide to students who need it. That's not the issue. This community is very generous to students and families who need resources. I would submit that the majority of this indebtedness that we have incurred is irresponsibility, not because people can't afford it, because we cover people who can't afford it. But we're working on it. Thanks for bringing it up.
All right, thank you. I know there is a charity out there that's involved, so I'm not sure if they're getting any traction.
There's a lot of people, and there's a lot of people with noble hearts who want to help and are just assuming that students can't afford the meal, and that's not really the case.
Yeah. We have the free and reduced program.
Yeah, we have that program. So it's a bit of a frustration. You know, once again, it's Harrisburg making rules without either following a common denominator of a problem or not really, you know, thinking through all the ramifications of the rules.
That's a state mandated.
This came from the lunch shaming piece that was going on, and that was going on, and that's not right either. But again, it's Harrisburg makes laws for the lowest common denominator that we all have to follow, and we weren't doing anything wrong, and now we're on the hook for a lot more money.
One thing I wanted to follow up on, because Dr. Hollister shared, the food service fund is self-sufficient. However,
consent agenda before us. This month was a little different. We had a snowed out meeting a couple weeks ago, so we didn't get to go over everything, but we've had this in our able to look it over the different reports, so hopefully everyone has gotten a chance to review that. At this time, then, I would need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Oh, I'm sorry. Personnel introduction.
Yeah, we do, yeah, that's okay. I was going to.
I'll do it if we get a motion.
Yeah, I was going to wait to add.
Yeah, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Well, second, okay, then we'll.
Yeah, we do. We have some folks from Mr. McCaskey would like to introduce. If you'd like to announce it, that'd be great.
Sure.
It will be on, who are on your personnel approval report.
Okay, we have two young teachers, fine young teachers, starting with us in the very near future. We'd like to introduce Marilyn Miller. Marilyn comes to us from Shippensburg University, excelled in classroom work there, and has a as extensive as possible a background in STEM education. So he's going to be our STEM teacher at Blue Ball Elementary. So welcome, Marilyn. And we're also welcoming Cassandra Jensen. Cassandra was a student teacher from Morrisville, and she spent the fall with us and showed a tenacity and a devotion to do great work with us already, and so we're pleased to be bringing her on board as well in the first grade position.
Committees, we'll go over each item and then vote on them as a block unless there's something that, you know, somebody wants to remove, vote on separately, but we'll have a start with property and services, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have four action items for this evening. The first is the approval of the Lancaster County Career and Technology Center 2018-19 budget. You have three attachments. One is the budget highlights, details, and also the packet that was distributed. The total budget for the CTC did increase 2.2% of the district contributions. For us as a district, our total cost is decreasing by just over $41,000 from the current year of 17. Each board member, Mr. Johnson did put in at your folders individual ballots, so each one should complete that. That Mr. Johnson, we will also then sign and submit to the Board of Education with it as well. So that's my first action item. The second one is the audit report, which you have a copy of the audit report there. Mr. Hogan did go through that in detail. The third action item is the delinquent real estate taxes that were turned over to the Lancaster County Tax Claim Bureau. We typically need to turn them over by January 15th. Since January 15th was a holiday, we had until the 16th to turn them over. The total amount turned over was just under $443,000. That is down approximately $13,000 from the prior year. Actually, the $442,000 was back relative to our 2014 level. I also attached a tax claim total of the last couple of years so you can kind of review that. The last action item that I have is approval of the resolution for the 2018-19 preliminary budget display and advertising. You have three attachments. The first attachment is the resolution itself that you'll be approving this evening. The second attachment is the actual notice that will be placed in the paper. And the last one is the actual proposed preliminary budget that will be on display starting tomorrow. You'll know even though I did report previously that our index was 2.4%. However, with the reassessment year, they actually go on the prior year index, which is 17-18. So we actually have an index this year of 2.5%. Again, this will be on display for 20 days. The notice will go in the paper at least 10 days, and we'll take official action at our February 12th board meeting. Again, this is just so that we can apply for exceptions. This in no way means this will be our actual budget. We'll actually start those deliberations again in the spring to really fine-tune and provide information before we move on to final plans. Any questions, I'll be happy to take them. Other than that, that's my report.
It looks like it's fairly consistent on the each year on the amount that we turn over for collection. What typically percentage do we eventually collect from?
We typically collect, it's kind of hard to say because we typically bring in about 400,000 a year, or some thousand, so you can kind of say we collect them all, but again, that's, you know, encompasses the previous years as well. So it's hard to really quantify when you don't know the complete outstanding amount. But I would say that over a couple of years, we do collect. They've actually gotten a lot better than what they have been in previous years. I'd say only in the last 5 years.
Anybody have any questions? Then we would look for a motion to approve the Property and Services Committee action items. All four of them as a whole.
So moved.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Yeah. We have then the program.
Yes, I have one action item. But our action item is approval of affidavit of guardianship. We have a copy of that, and so I'd be asking for you to approve that. Any questions about that? And I just wanted to give you an update on our curriculum. I have met with all the groups that I talked about in December who had put their names on the survey. Not only did I meet with them individually if they wanted to, but I also met with their entire grade level. And most of them wanted to had their grade level there as well. Overwhelmingly, they were very pleased with the fact that they really could target the standards and they knew where they were supposed to be working and teaching. There was the regular everything's new concerns, and they wanted to make sure that they were doing their absolute best for their students. I will be working with Greg and the principals to develop small groups to work on the areas that they asked for additional support. One of those was making sure that we had a good, strong list of all the resources that could be used for teaching the ELA. Also, a little concern about making sure they had the materials to do the inquiry, science, and social studies. And then finally, they also were a little concerned about vocabulary and how to teach the vocabulary. A lot of things went back to how I teach this, so not only will we be looking to provide a good, strong list of the resources for them, but we'll also then be looking at our flex professional development offerings for next year so that we can address with them our specific concerns about it. And so I'll continue to keep you updated as we move through the spring, but we are on module 4 and 5. We're almost all the way there. And we'll continue to get feedback from our teachers. And if there's no questions, that's the end of my report.
Okay, thank you. So we will need a motion to approve the affidavits of guardianship.
So moved.
A second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay.
Mr. President. A couple of just basically announcements. I have no action items this month. First piece is a conversation piece. I did talk briefly about this last month. We're currently working, trying to develop a new contract. The IU is developing a contract for a wide area network, which basically provides internet services to the school districts. The IU has met several times with a committee. Mr. Wooten, our director, is part of that committee. It's a moving target at this point. Initially, I think there was some favor to go towards one of the vendors, but that would have been a 20-year commitment. Some people got a little bit concerned about that. As Mr. Wooten dug more into it and talked to some of the vendors, our shift then was to perhaps go out on our own and not utilize the IU service because of a significant amount of savings, somewhere above $15,000. We, as a courtesy call, when Mr. Wooten made that recommendation, a tentative recommendation to me, I did call Dr. Barnhart right away and give him a heads up. Since that time, there have been more conversations. The IU is looking to restructure how it charges for the WAN service, and now that potential charge by the IU is about half. So that's where we are now. And I say that only because we will need a vote by this board to go one direction or the other. Pieces of information are still coming in. The IU is still looking at reworking its proposal. But it's a significant commitment. That's what we need to understand. This has been a 10-year commitment. And the one vendor that we're looking at who would actually build an entire new network out here in Lancaster County, it would be a 20-year commitment with the IU. So that's pretty significant. So we're really trying to do our homework. And at the end of the day, we'll end up taking a recommendation most likely from Mr. Wooten. But I do know the IU is interested in hearing from him. I know they want a specific phone call with WOTC, their tech person, and Dr. Barnhart. So more to come, but I do want to give you a heads up that's out there cooking. Next item I had last Thursday evening was my final meeting on site with Columbia Grove School District. I did want to pass along to the board the appreciation of Mr. Combs and the School Board of Columbia Borough for the partnership that we've had and the partnership that we continue to have through Mr. Ramsey, Mrs. Proquet, and Mr. Wooten. Those folks are greatly appreciated over Columbia Borough and are still able to manage all that at this time. Columbia Borough did appoint Mr. Strickler as their superintendent. We released him from employeeship this past month, so he is now full-time working for them. There was no overlap. We did that for a few years. So a real good experiment, I think. Still things are emerging out of it. Still some potential avenues for both school districts to benefit. For example, one of the technology pieces of information that we're looking for from the WAN is that Columbia Borough School District is very close to the Kimber line that runs out to Millersville and then down into Chester County. And it's possible we may be able to tie into the Kimber internet through Columbia Borough because of our partnership. So there's all these new threads that are developing as our relationship with Columbia Borough School District develops as well. So that's where we are with the school district. We still have service agreements. We're still collecting revenue from the other members who are continuing to move on in that partnership. Any questions or comments? Item C was a reminder that we would have this recognition this evening. That was from the previous meeting. It was a great night. I really do appreciate the work our teachers are doing. It's extremely difficult and hard work if you do it really well. So compliments to them. Reminder that for new school board members, Mr. Buck and anyone else who wants to attend, on January 31st, the IU will have an orientation, and that's next week. I know Mr. Irvin is also serving as a teacher as a part of that experience for the IU, so compliments and thanks to Paul as well. And then finally, the date is not right. There is the IU Learning Showcase, and that's actually April 11th. I'm not sure how I got the 9th on there. April 11th is the showcase. That's, if you recall, last year they started doing that. In the past, for many, many years, there was an on-site speaker at one of the school districts that was showcasing typically new renovations. We thought that got pretty stale over the years, so we tried this last year and it was a huge success. It's basically that every school district brings something they want to share with another school district, and you walk around in a very casual manner. I highly encourage you to try and get that on your schedule if you can, April 11th. Don't need to stay all night. You can come in, have a few hors d'oeuvres, check out a few things, and you can leave at a time. It's really, come and go as you wish. I believe, hold on. As Mr. Ramsey had indicated earlier, the study of the facilities actually started today. Today was the first day we had folks on site starting to go around to look at our facilities. Now that we have the property contributed into Grubaugh Elementary School, not only are we going to do the full shakedown of all our facilities and the use and time amounts for how long mechanical will last, et cetera, but we'll also give the architects scenarios. What if the school district gains 500 students? What if the school district gains 1,000 students? What if the school district gains 2,000 students over the next 5 to 10 years? What could it look like? What kind of space would we need? So we're trying to really plan far into the future, which is a nice position to be in, to have the ability to take the time ahead of time and plan so far into the future. So that's the direction that we'll be doing that team as they go and give us a shakedown of our facilities. We really don't expect huge expenses. We think, as Keith said earlier, that anything that we need to do will very likely be able to be covered with our capital reserve because of the solid financial position that we're currently in. If you recall also, our debt service does drop off in about 4 years, and that's about a $2.5 million structural surplus. I'm not sure that's a term, but it works for me. Structural surplus. Make that a bit worse. So that's something that we'll be able to play with too in 4 years. And I believe that does conclude. Oh, one more thing. Just an update with our snow days. We did have 2 snow days. It's been a very difficult year for Dr. Hollister. I have not been calling them too well. 2 frustrating storms. One was a Friday that came in harder than everyone expected. One was a storm that showed up way earlier and then went away. Can't help that. Forecast has just not been helping us out. But we did miss two school days already. These 2 snow days will be tacked on at the end of the calendar. The next snow day that we lose will be President's Day, Monday, President's Day weekend. We did start an app at my request. I had Mr. Wooten begin texting. We started texting information about weather emergencies out to parents who provided phone numbers for them. I'm still holding off on doing the auto dialing and calling the houses early in the morning. I just think that's more disruptive than it is beneficial if we can ensure that our text call out is working well. The other thing I'll say that people should know is WGAL changed its system this year in the middle of the snow, literally the one morning in the middle of the snowstorm. It was down and came back in a different way and has made it very difficult for us to add correct information to WGAL, which is one of the reasons that we started going with the texting, because we're just going to have to get information out ourselves. Any questions or comments about any of that?
Just a comment. Some of the townships and boroughs totally handle the response to any snow emergency that does occur. We're at the mercy of certain townships within the district to how quickly they get out to attend to the roads.
I appreciate that insurance. Yeah, they're just leave it there. I can close my report.
Thank you. Questions on the superintendent's report? We'll move into
I just wanted to say that text messaging works a lot better than getting a phone call. That's what we used over in York. So
okay.
Text messaging works a lot better than getting disrupted at whatever time in the morning when the phone goes off.
Some families still don't have text messaging capabilities.
I know.
So not for everybody.
Yeah.
But the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau.
We did meet on January 3rd, and the main purpose of the meeting was the Tax Bureau's reorganization. So we appointed officers, appointed committees, so it was very short.
Mr. Levin, IU 13, Mr.
Okay, Mr. Levin, IU Board met on January 10th. We approved payment of $5.1 million worth of invoices. We approved one new business service contract, one new early childhood special education service contract, one instructional services contract, and approved a contract with Alere Family Health LLC for the employees who are not allowed to use the in-house medical center. Under personnel actions, we had 8 employees resigned. We had 4 retirement announcements. We had 48 new hires, 8 change of position or salaries, and approved 2 leave of absences. I did provide each of the board members and administration with the monthly issue of helping districts help students. If for any reason anyone has any questions on the information I've given them or a question they may have on the IU board decisions or actions, I'll be glad to help you any way I can.
Great, thank you. Any questions on the IU 13? Then the Lancaster CTC, Mr. Trevor.
I have no report this evening because of the way the reorganization and the calendar fell. We met mid-December before our last December meeting, and we do not meet again until Thursday of this week. So.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to the report the next meeting. And then legislative, Mr. Wenzel.
Yes, actually, part of my report sort of fall into it about the lunch program, which is called legislative. So that covers part of my report. On Tuesday, February the 6th, Tom Wolf will present his 2018-19 state budget before a joint meeting of the Senate and the House. And following that, the committees will delve into the going over the budget. And hopefully by July 1st, June 30th, we will have a budget, approved budget. One of these years we get lucky, right? One other item to keep an eye on, John Eichelberger, he is the chairman of the State Senate Education Committee. And he's a little controversial, to say the least, as the chairman of that committee. And he is running for Congress. He's going to be running for the seat held by Bill Schuster, who is not seeking re-election. If he would win the congressional seat, and depending on who would take over the chairmanship of that committee, it could be a more possible positive outlook of public education in the state. Would you agree with that?
I would agree 100%, and I'm cheering for Senator Eichelberger for Congress.
Mm-hmm. You're hoping one of 400 and some down in Washington, if he makes it down there, he can, at least early on, can be more much of the hindrance down there as he has. I'd also, as you're all seeing, the wheels are starting to turn on the governor's race and those type of things. This United States State Senate race will be heating up here in the next couple months. So there'll be a lot of political activity as we go forth toward the primary, I believe it's in May this year. So that concludes my report.
All right, thank you for that. Any questions on legislative matters? Superintendent's report.
I covered everything in my other comments. My comments all night long.
All right. I just had one thing here on the announcements. I had talked a little bit earlier, and in the obituaries, I noticed the other day that Bob Simon had passed away, and Tom and I would have been going to school here when he was the superintendent. He was the original superintendent from 1956. It says here it ended in 1981, which is the year I graduated. That's a long term, so that's something to shoot for, Bob. 24 years.
Yeah.
But I think we've only already had.
Not even halfway.
We were just talking, this the school district, we already had six superintendents in the in that period of time, which is quite remarkable. So we've had a lot of long-term good people. And I just think it's important to, you know, we look a lot towards the future, but also we stand on the backs of those who came before us. And he was 98 years old and was a World War II veteran, and that generation is disappearing quickly. I just think it's good to honor that. So just, but I wanted to mention that. His service here. Anyone else have anything? Okay, do we need any executive session this evening? Okay, very good. A motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.